And now, broadcasting on Star Worldwide Networks, it's In the Green Room. Green is in, but what does that really mean for you? Join the gang for a fun and energetic half-glass, half-full perspective to what and how sustainability is the lifestyle for the future. It can really affect everything you do, from your health, wallet, environment, money, even your morals. So our goal, to help save the planet one show at a time. Now, welcome to the Green Room.
Welcome. Good evening. I'm Quita.
I'm Kinga.
We are your hosts of
Chet.
In the Green Room. And we've got, oh, sorry, Chet.
And Chet. That's
Chet,
right.
Yeah. I was coming to you. I was giving you your own.
My own intro.
You had your own intro, but he ruined it, so he's not giving it anymore.
I didn't do it for myself.
Well, we're in the Green Room.
Yes.
And everybody out there, if you're listening, share our video, comment on Instagram, Facebook, everything. Go ahead.
Yes, all of that good stuff. And, you know, we have to always start off with our motto of
saving the planet
one show at a time.
So welcome back, Quita. I missed you so much.
Did she miss me, guys?
I missed you so much. I've been basically kissing your fanny since you got back.
Who calls it a fanny? What?
Kinga does.
Please don't. We're related. Can't do that.
Yes, guys, I celebrated my 20-year anniversary.
Sustainable love.
The other half.
I thought you were going to say 20th birthday.
Well, oh, Chet, you are really getting on my good side tonight.
You do look
and
so young today.
I didn't pay him to say that.
Your hair all like this and what you're wearing, you look all 20 years
and
old.
And I'm all refreshed. So we had an amazing, amazing trip. This was, guys, the longest time since my kids have been born that I have been away from them.
Oh, great. Let's celebrate.
Rock and Robin,
thank you.
But we had a fantastic. Robin's getting excited over there with her sound effects.
I think we need to get one more mic in the studio so Rockin' Robin can have a little say here.
I thought she was going to say another board because she still wants her own.
I still want my own
and
board.
And you know that's not happening. We're not doing the board.
It's like how I am with emojis. For those of you out there, if you text with me.
If you get a text from Kinga, no matter what the text is about, no matter whether it's happy or sad, it's going to have at least 5 or 6 emojis, and one of them will be a green heart.
I apologize to everybody for showing her emojis.
Oh, this is your fault.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Thanks, Chet.
Yeah, Chet did teach me how to do it.
Good job, Chet.
He's like,
you
this?
Just went back down. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. But
so
no, it was great.
Where'd you go? Did you see any sustainability on your trip?
So much. I mean, we did a whole lot. We went, of course, we had to do Vegas just because we want to pretend like the 20 years, like Chet said, is like we're that young. So we went to Vegas and we did a whole road trip. We went to Zion National Park in Utah. And oh my God, was that amazing. If you haven't been there.
I want to go there so bad.
It was amazing. If you love hiking and nature, you could spend days there.
Was that the picture on Instagram?
I can't. You was that the one with the squirrel?
It was kind of a beautiful, it looked like a canyon with light.
That was Antelope Canyon.
So beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Where is that?
That was one of the places we went also in Page.
Okay.
We also came around to Page and we did Antelope Canyon and then we also did Horseshoe Bend, which was absolutely gorgeous. So, guys, you know I'm very, very nature and I like the outdoors and all of that good
stuff.
And so
am I.
And so, yes. Well, I'm just explaining why my trip was the way it was.
Of course. That's your favorite thing to do.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And one of the funny things is you guys may have seen that we put on Facebook – these squirrels, they had everywhere, don't feed the squirrels, because they were everywhere, but you didn't need to feed them. They took what they wanted. And so there was this one squirrel following everybody around, and he literally got a banana. Now, think about how small they are and how big a banana is. It's the same size. Took off running. I mean, they were just taking things. And it was so funny because there was this one guy, and he's like, I'm going to get it. I'm taking it from him. And so another lady jumps in, and she's like, no, we didn't feed him. He took it fair and square. It was the funniest thing. Anyways,
cool
it was great,
that?
But there was. What I loved seeing at the park and a lot of places is they all had recycle. I was showing you
That's
different
what I was
pictures. They had the different trash cans. They even recycled metal.
Well, we got to get those posted because I think that you want to share that with everybody,
yes,
right?
Yes, it was awesome. It was definitely awesome. So I would say I'm waiting for another 20 years so we can do it all again.
Aww.
So I'm glad to be back.
We missed you and the last show. I can't even remember what it was about, but it, you know, of course, without your energy.
About like vegan lifestyle.
And, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It's about veganista, vegan versus vegetarian. Right. It was a good show, but
good.
Without you, not as good.
Aww,
yeah,
you.
I missed you so much.
Well, what have you been doing? You've been all over the place. I've seen you, and it actually goes with one of our guests. And actually, why don't we tell people a little bit about who our guests are?
Right.
And then you can tell us, because I saw you on Facebook doing your thing, girl.
Well, remind me. I don't even remember what I did.
Yeah, you were at a march. You were.
Oh, that's right.
That was pretty huge, Kinga.
Okay, well, that's what the show is about, actually. March for Our Lives. Mm-hmm. I was at the march, and I was with... Jason, he's in studio. He's our sustainable rapper. Say hello, Jason.
Yo.
Yo.
That he's a rapper. He doesn't say hello. He says yo.
So he'll be rapping a song about what our show's about, and that every show he'll be doing that, and that's pretty exciting. He's also our new producer.
Woo-hoo!
So tell us what you'll be doing for us.
I'll be bringing on the guests. I can be bringing on success.
There you go. Thank you so much.
Did
and
you
so,
make that rhyme on purpose?
So, yes, we have Jordan in the house.
Yes, Mr. And Jordan Harb.
Did he actually...
Helped organize.
He helped organize the whole thing.
Yes.
Which is kind of a big deal.
Very big deal, because in talking to him, you guys are going to be so amazed, because I'm going to say it, this kid, I know you're a teenager, but he is 17 years old, and I'm telling you, just from a five-minute conversation, this kid has more knowledge than a lot of 40-year-olds.
It's impressive.
So
he can talk, and we're excited to get his interview.
Yes,
he was on
impressed.
NPR, was it yesterday? Mm-hmm. NPR, KTR, he's been on a few shows, so that's exciting.
That tells you he can speak.
That's right.
He is one of the ones you guys get to look forward to. And I'm telling you, once you hear what he has to say, it's amazing, because we talk a lot about youth. Mm-hmm. And we're not in their heads, and we don't understand. Chet, even you, I mean, I know you are young, but you're not in high school. And
I'm 22, so.
Oh, he, officially.
My thoughts are all about.
He has a lot of views on politics.
Where is the next bar? No, okay.
I was going to say girls, but, you know, we'll take that.
Well, I have a girlfriend. So.
You'd be surprised. He actually has a lot of views on actually the gun laws and all that. So he'll be speaking up, I'm sure. He likes to talk politics, so.
And then we also have a special guest all the way from Florida.
Ah, I'm so excited.
Yes, she'll be here shortly. My aunt.
Her aunt.
But it's more than just aunt. She is so involved. She has an organization called Teen Rescue, where she's really involved with teens. And it's a lot of what you were saying, Jordan, is that, you know, we're not in their heads, and we try to make decisions based on what we think is right. And we can't do that. So her organization actually had a 95% success rate. She's a vice mayor, a former vice mayor. So we got a lot to talk about with her as well.
Politics teacher. It's all a great show. It's a great fit. And we can just really get some things solved here today.
Solved. And then we're going to have some fun, some entertainment. We've got some live music. And let me tell you guys, we've got Miss Tanya T.A. in the house. And
hey, Mama's here.
Even
you
if you haven't heard of Miss Tanya, you are going to want to hear more of her after tonight, because her voice, guys, it is absolutely amazing. And she's a singer-songwriter. She's even done some singing and performing with Sister Sledge. So definitely exciting and something to look forward to. Kinga's back.
Sorry, I had to leave the mic for a minute because Queen and I share a mama. A mama just walked into the studio. Mama Pearl.
Yes, there
he is. Pearls of Wisdom. She's here.
So, all right.
Excitement.
Very, very exciting. So I want you to tell me a little bit about this march that you were at. You were very involved in this.
Oh, I just couldn't. I was just mesmerized by how many people were there. I mean, I heard the numbers were around 20,000.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan, could you introduce yourself?
Hi. Yeah, I'm Jordan.
what's your last name?
Jordan Harb.
And you're one of the organizers for March for Our Lives?
Yes, one of.
Okay.
Although it's actually Hedum. But I usually, you know, just don't say that because no one can say that.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I couldn't hear what you said.
Hedum.
Oh, okay.
Is that your last name?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, wait.
It's Arabic.
Say it one more time.
Hedum.
Okay, there we go.
Hedum.
See, I can say that. I can say that. What does it mean?
War.
Oh, wow.
Ironically.
War. Yes.
But, yeah, we definitely estimate that we had probably 25 to 30,000 people.
30,000.
DPS. I don't know what DPS is talking about.
Okay.
15,000. Our route was longer than the Women's March, and by the time we got all the way to the Capitol building, there was a line of people still waiting to start, and the Women's March was not that big, yet they had, you know, at least 25,000 people, so.
Well, I couldn't believe, I thought there were 50,000 people there.
Well,
that's what it looked
that
like
that
to
support,
me. There were
though,
so many people.
That had to feel amazing.
Jason and I were there for a couple hours, and we interviewed, how many people did we interview, Jason?
about five different groups, like young people, and all of them we asked if they've ever been to a march before, and they said no. So that's let you know that not only was this march bigger, but also that it got a lot of young people into engagement. And that's really what really excites me. When I was talking to you earlier, Jordan, you were saying about the sustainment about this march, about its purpose, in that if you're optimistic and saying that you're able to meet all of your goals, how would this march have a purpose? And you were telling me about that purpose, if you want to share a bit about that.
Thank you, Jason. I also want to add to the fact that one of the girls we interviewed, if you check out our Instagram and Facebook page, in the greenroom.green, which, by the way, I hope you're all on there right now commenting, asking questions, commenting. And people that ask a lot of questions, comment, they get on our show. it helps them get on the show. So please do that. One of the girls we interviewed actually came all the way from Tucson. She was a student at, you know, Wildcat from University of Arizona, and I thought that was very impressive. So we chose to interview her, and she'll be on the show. And so
she has a lot of redeeming qualities, though.
Yes. She had a lot to say, and
that was a U of A ASU pun, but okay.
Okay.
Because I didn't get it.
Yeah, nobody got it apparently.
Hey guys, who's listening? Did you get it?
Yeah, comment if you got.
She was
Chet's
joke. She goes to U of A. I was like, but she has some redeeming qualities. So
see, Chet's at ASU, so he likes to put it down. Yeah. He's a big ASU fan because he's
I've been for 22
school, right?
years. So
That's right. Well, Chet, do you have any opinions about this march and the gun laws?
Well, let's ask Jordan first.
Okay, Jordan.
Well, why don't you start?
I'm not the guest. I'm not that important. Come
you're
on.
Very important. But Jordan, what impressed me most, you started off talking about not being victims and how this started, and it wasn't because of gun laws. So tell us that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people get it wrong when they say that the Parkland shooting, you know, 17 people dying is what made this movement start. And that is absolutely incorrect. We've been living in a world, in an era where school shootings happen almost monthly. And for me and my generation, we have become absolutely desensitized to death. We have become used to having the thought in the back of our head that the next round of thoughts and prayers might be towards us. I sit in class and I think about, you know, what would I do in a school shooting? It's just become so normal to us that...
That is so sad that you all just
That people die
that. So
and
scary.
It's just like, well, it's sad. It happened.
And
it just happens. It's just a thing.
And it is
an
American phenomenon. It happens nowhere else in the world.
Yeah. So what really changed the dialogue was the fact that the Parkland students, the Parkland survivors, our age... stood up and spoke out and said, you know what, this is the time to talk. This needs to end. And it changed the conversation away from desensitized fear to action. And that is what this
movement
is about.
Fear in action. I love it.
Fear to action. You know, I've been active before. I was with the Save Our Schools and helping education funding here in Arizona prior. But after the Parkland shooting, with me and millions of other youth across the country and the world, we came to the realization that the fear we have and the death that happens so regularly is not okay, and something needs to change, because for our entire lives, it's just been something we've been used to. And seeing the Parkland students get up and speak out really turned that conversation and made us all realize that we need to take action. And that's kind of why I got involved and why so many others.
What I love is you're taking your action and solutions, not problems, and getting everybody aware makes such a difference. But does your group have any kind of solutions on how we can, what's the next step?
For us, we have a very specific policy platform that we created actually on our website, marchforourlivesaz.org. We have a mock plan from the governor because we think that his plan sucks.
are we talking about Governor Ducey?
Yes.
Okay.
For policy plan. Okay. Our three things that we're advocating for are universal background checks, a ban on bump stocks, and more school counselors, because in Arizona, we have a really big issue of suicide. Majority of those school shootings we have here are people killing themselves. And an armed guard, an SRO, is not going to stop you or stop me or anyone else from hating themselves inside so much that they want to end their lives. Only emotional support will do that. And that's why it's so vitally important. And I think this is where this movement becomes so intersectionally connected with everything else. It's so important that we have school funding, because smaller classroom sizes, more resources for our teachers and administration will really help alleviate and give students the mental support we need, because, you know, Republicans and gun right advocates have been claiming, you know, it's a mental health issue. It's because these kids are bullying. And you know what? You're right. It is a mental health issue. And the solution to that is more school counselors. The solution to that is having more resources in school so that we kids can get over and heal ourselves before we reach that climactic point of hurting ourselves or others.
I think one of the other solutions is also just spreading kindness is what we talk about here at the show, because I think
Probably going to hire kind counselors.
Yeah.
Not a bunch of...
I just think when everybody's kind to people around them...
Yeah. I know, I was kidding.
It was a joke. Yeah. I know. When you're kind and you spread the kindness and you help people when they're having a bad day...
Very much so, because if you walk into a room and you have a huge smile on your face,
yes,
how hard is it to be mean to a person who's being nice to you?
You know,
right?
Now that you say that, it really just shows our own representatives, because I will tell you, a few weeks ago, we had a day of action at the Capitol building, and we all came.
I wish I knew I would have been there.
Nice, just wanting to meet with our personal representatives. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where every Republican we had a meeting with canceled, and every Republican we talked to skirted the issue when we mentioned we wanted to talk about gun violence. We're just a bunch of kids. We're not partisan. We just want our lives. We're scared.
But you bring up a good point, though, with the government, because in one of our previous shows, we talked about we're not getting involved enough in the government. So whoever wants to be there, they're there. And they don't have to do what we want them to do, because mm-hmm. they know we're not going to show up and do our part. We're not going to show up at the meetings. Our lives are busy and we have other things we want to do. That really is that's the general what people are doing. So if we're not there to vote these people in and we're not there to keep them on their jobs, why do we expect change?
Yeah, and it's definitely gotten so bad, and I think this shows just how bad it's got, because we were on the floor of the House in the viewing room. We filled the entire viewing room. Mm-hmm. Kids literally from across the entire state took time out of their spring break to come down to the Capitol building, and we had our personal survivor, really intimate stories, told on the floor by representatives, and they were very personal of experience that students have had of almost killing themselves, of being scared to go to school, and... more than half of their representatives scoffed, got up, and left the room to listen to those stories.
I have kind of a good solution for helping you facilitate that. We have a very good friend, Barry Goldwater Jr., mm-hmm. who's a Republican, and he has all those political connections, mm-hmm. and we'll try to have another show with him and you, and we could see if we could help facilitate this process more, because I think I'm friends with a lot of Republicans that are not, in fact, I was speaking with Jerry today, I'm not going to say his last name, and he's against assault weapons, but he's for guns. And actually, when Jason and I were at the march, we spoke to all kinds of people, kids that were, or students that were pro-guns, but against assault weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's always two sides to every story, but I think now with all this violence and death, a lot of Republicans are very pro anti-assault weapons, but
pro regulation.
Yes.
Right, because I can't speak for everybody, but do we want to be in a place where it's not about the regulations? Do we want to be in a place where we can't have guns at all, but we have other officials that can? So if something were to go down, I mean, I truly believe that one of the reasons we don't see a lot of the wars and things here, because other people know that we are armed. So you're not just fighting our army. You're fighting the whole... Do you understand what
yes.
I'm saying? So we don't want to get rid of it all, but absolutely, Chet, regulations.
Well, I mean, the Second Amendment was originally to prevent another tyranny from happening in the United States. So that way, if the government ever became oppressive and was infringing on our constitutional rights, like freedom of speech... We could all grab our muskets.
That's the goal.
And go conquer the government. I mean, technology's changed that, changed that whole entire dynamic a little bit, obviously. So I don't think that would ever come into fruition. But it still is an important part of American culture, almost.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people feel so strongly about it. That's why you're coming into contact with so many people that are closed-minded about it. It's kind of crazy that they won't even have a conversation about it.
And I think it really comes down to them just listening to us, because I have mm-hmm. gotten countless trolls and people commenting like, you're not going to take my guns. And I'm like, can you just take one second, go to our website, read our policy platform, and you will see that literally nowhere in there does it say take your guns away. Literally, I have never once said I want to take your guns. What we advocate for are very basic, and I will say very conservative regulations. I mean, the national wants to ban assault weapons, raise the age, and these are things I agree with, but they're not things they're pushing for because this is Arizona. All we really want, really, are universal background checks. And so many have said, you know, well, why would we put more laws on guns when we have laws on heroin and people still use heroin? I'm like, yeah, well, if those laws don't work, why don't we just make heroin legal? And I don't see them trying to get on board with that. You know, it's simply just having more loopholes, because it would make me a lot more comfortable knowing that it's so much harder to get a gun than it is right now. Because
well, it's a proven fact. Yeah, that, like, for example, Japan, it's very hard to get a gun there. And mm-hmm. there's not
And in
half
states
as much
that
violence.
Have universal background checks, street crime mm-hmm. is drastically lower. Because right now, you can be someone who shouldn't have a gun. Like, absolutely. Through the system mm-hmm. already, mm-hmm. and you can go do a gun show.
And no one should have an assault rifle. I mean, no one should have one of those guns, and those should not be for sale. And I don't know what everybody thinks, but, I mean, as far as schools go, I think my thoughts were, and you tell me what you all think, there could be, like, a security guard at every entrance, and I think the kids coming, or students, I should say students, because you're not kids anymore when you're in teens. But
I still say you're kids.
You know, when it comes to security and SROs, uh-huh. I really don't think that should be the focus yet. Because
the waste of money, yeah.
Well, we need to get to the root of the problem before Thank we you. Get on to, you know, SROs right now, well, are a Band-Aid.
But I
They're
think
a Band-Aid over a bullet hole. Mm-hmm. And
expensive
it also,
Band-Aid.
Yeah, and it's a very expensive Band-Aid. And also skirts the issue of the fact that, especially in Arizona, mm-hmm. SROs are terrible for kids of color in low-income communities because, you guessed it, our education system isn't funded enough. So what happens within these communities is the admin cannot take on reprehending children. They can't take on discipline because they just are too underfunded. So what happens is the SROs, the police officers, take on disciplining kids. And police officers are trained to deal with criminals, not mm-hmm. children. So more often than not, the SRO treats kids like criminals, and it leads to arrests. And mm-hmm. once you're arrested, you're not coming out of that cycle. Mm-hmm. And it's especially in Arizona, when we talk about SROs and increasing, you know, security on campus, we need to make sure that when we have a cop on campus, that the admin has the resources to take care of the kids first. Because the root cause, the biggest thing that would make the biggest impact in Arizona is counselors and more emotional support. And having our administration have the resources to prevent someone from even wanting to bring a gun on campus. Because a police officer doesn't know someone's a shooter until they start shooting. Mm-hmm. And we shouldn't have shooters in the first place. And if we're going to keep shooters from even developing, we need to have emotional support. Much like Republicans keep saying, it's a bullying problem. It's a depression problem. And counselors are the solution to that.
I agree with all that, but I definitely think that right now, while this is prevalent, I think that if we could fund just having security at the entrance and
okay,
exit
but
of the
like
school.
In Parkland, where the mm-hmm. shooting just happened, there was two active like sheriff's deputies within a mile of the school, and they did nothing
and
about
they didn't
it.
React.
When somebody's actually there and shooting, a lot of people don't know what they're going to do.
But can I finish what I was going to say? So the
well, no, it
guards,
didn't work there. It hasn't worked.
Okay, but listen, I'm not saying that. Been, I'm saying the security guard checks, does a pat down, just like they do at the airport, just like they do at a baseball game, just any
the
big
logistics
function.
Of that
they
are
make sure you don't have
laughable.
A weapon. They search your purse. I mean, everywhere I go, everyone does this to me. If you go to the waste management, if you go anywhere where there's a lot of people,
but what about
they're searching us?
What about
making
every
sure you don't have a gun?
Because you know, when it comes to you know, well, now we need armed guards at school. Well, now we need armed guards literally in the streets because gun violence kills way more people out on the streets than it does in schools. So mm-hmm. yes, security guards will save people, but
at the schools, just at the schools,
it would
I'm
be
about.
So much more of an investment to fully fund counselors and fully fund schools before we put money into SROs, because you would save way more people by per the dollar for funding our counselors than it would funding SROs. And in Arizona, we do primarily have SROs at most schools. So really our focus should be on upping it so that counselors are at least at equal amount of impact as SROs right now.
So bottom line, you feel like putting these security guards in, we're kind of wasting money because this mm-hmm. money needs to go here first.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
putting the cart before the
you know,
horse.
Security guards may help, but like our counselors in our public education system is trash, mm-hmm. and we need to focus on what's actually like terrible here in Arizona
okay,
because
not,
it would have so much more impact.
I'm not trying to offend any of you your security guards, but I don't usually look at a security guard and go, I feel a lot more safe now.
I think a lot of people agree with that because I have to tell you, we had a whole security job.
And just a joke.
One of our security guards, not to be funny, literally, you're not going to beat me in a race. You don't look stronger than me. You don't. They're there for a reason.
They're usually asleep,
the job for a reason. So it's not to say that they're not capable of doing certain things, but you're not intimidating me.
Correct.
And if you're not intimidating little old me, you're not really going to intimidate the big guy over there with the gun either.
But I think the number one thing I'm saying is, search the kids, search their backpacks,
never work.
And
it's
make sure they don't have drugs on them and weapons. That's what I think. I mean, we're searched at these public, you know, if I go to the Diamondbacks, I'm searched. If I go to a concert, I'm searched. They do the pat down. Every time I go to the airport, I'm always selected. They always pick me and pat me down and check me out. They check my suitcase.
Flying is a privilege.
That's what I'm saying. You choose to do that.
But I'm just
saying,
why can't we do that to the students? I'm not saying that the security guard is going to stop people once they start shooting. I'm saying they're going to prevent it because they're going to double check that nobody has a gun or a knife or whatever.
But do you think then it makes sense after listening to Jordan to spend the money there first it here?
And I go to concerts all the time, and sneak a whole bottle in, and the security guard has
no idea. Chet, you didn't say that live on the air. He didn't say that. It was a
joke. I'm loud and proud. Oh, no. I bring in my Deep Eddy. I don't drink any Smirnoff
like
or anything.
Proud.
Somehow
proud.
They can't even notice a whole entire giant fifth. I don't know.
Well, that's true. Every 21-year-old does that. But I think a gun, there could be a metal detector. A metal detector that's checking out if you've got metal on you. A gun. That's what I'm talking about. But no, I agree that counselors are the answer. Of course, that's part of the solution. But I also think that some of these guys that snap, that kill everybody, are sometimes the quiet ones that don't talk, and the last thing they're going to do is go to a counselor.
But at the same time, that's part of the issue. And what I'm hearing from Jordan is it's those quiet ones that need to be talking, and there's a reason they're not talking. But if they feel that they have more resources to talk to,
and
then maybe they won't hold it all in
that,
and blow up.
Right.
With the majority of all these shootings that have happened, almost all of these shooters have been flagged already. And Columbine, people already knew this kid was whack. Like, he needed help. And it was the same thing in Parkland. The shooter was even, suspended and expelled multiple times. People knew this kid was going to hurt someone. And their school just didn't have the resources to have someone kids were reporting to the admin already. The admin just didn't have the resources or maybe the care to send a counselor to go and find out what's wrong with this kid. I'm very observant. I can tell which kids are needing help. And if I knew that my school would be able to take the initiative to help them, I would go and tell them.
We are very impressed with you, Mr. Jordan.
Oh, so impressed. We're so impressed.
Pearl behind me has a question. Pearl.
All right. Pearl has a question. Here we go.
Well, I just got double mic'd. So I have a lot of friends that are teachers and principals in the school system. And one of the things that they've noticed or see is when students go through trauma, not necessarily shooting, but a death or something, a lot of the administrators, meaning the principals or superintendents, don't see the value of bringing in counselors. So now we start funding, but they're not still bringing in that care. How do we get past that perception where they don't see counselors as a useful care? You see what I'm saying? So we give them funding, great, but they're still not bringing in that care. So, I mean, right now you can get counselors, but I had a friend at a school, and the students went through a lot of trauma, and the principal said, no, I don't think it's worthwhile to bring in the counselor.
Well, I think part of that, too, though, you can't just throw money and walk away. There has to be a plan. Like, I'm listening to you with this website, and you're saying, this is our policy, this is our this. You have to have a plan. So some of these schools, they may have counselors, and the counselors may be great, but if your marketing, like you say, sucks, you're not making me feel comfortable. You're not making me want to come. It takes more than just money. And I think what's so great about this show tonight, because we've got another guest that's going to be coming up here too. She'll talk a lot about this because, like I said, she had the organization Teen Rescue, but also a politician. So she can talk more too. What is it that we're doing wrong? Why do we have the wrong people in office? And what do we need to do to get the right ones in? I'm going to let you talk some more, Jordan. Okay. Because I know you want to go.
I think that I'm going to use this as a sounding board to pivot. I think that it's wrong to suggest that the issue will be solved in one place. It won't just be solved by passing a bill in the Arizona legislature to fund education. Now, that's needed and will help a lot, but it's not everything. this is a huge movement. And when it comes to things like, well, your school's not hiring counselors, well, then you go to your school board and you make them hire counselors. Mm-hmm. You get your parent friends, your students, and you organize and you use grassroots efforts to get your school to hire counselors, because it's not one place, it's everywhere.
Right, there's not just one solution, and it's not overnight.
Mm-hmm. This also kind of answers...
What questions do you have for Doug Ducey? If we could get him to listen to this show, what questions do you have for him? And if we can get you back on with... We have a lot of politician friends that could help with solutions of getting you to who you need to talk to. But what would your questions be for Doug Ducey?
Why won't you meet with us? I think that's just the big question I have, because... You know, we're the ones being affected by this. We're the ones who are being affected directly by your policy. So when you sit and write policy that affects me, but you don't listen to me, I question you, and I question why.
I know where he lives. You guys could all go and pick it in front of his house.
We just might, because at this point, you know, we haven't been able to talk to any Republicans.
Did you hear that?
And
I said I know where Doug Ducey lives.
I find it rather appalling, because none of us are partisan. I think it brings up a point. I was telling your producer over there, you know, when it comes to, you know, I go to a conservative school, and I will tell you that when I bring up this subject, we find common ground instantly. They agree with me on background checks. They agree with me on these really common sense things that will just curb and make it so it's so much harder to get a gun. But as soon as I say, do you agree with the Republicans? Do you agree with the Democrats? As soon as I bring in the idea of partisanship and these identities, we don't agree anymore. They don't listen to me anymore.
Mm-hmm. But I think it should be about Democrat or Republican. It really should.
Yeah, and that's the point I'm making.
Common sense.
That's
like
the
you were
point
saying.
I'm making, that I am able to make common ground with conservative people until I bring partisanship into this.
But why bring it into it?
He doesn't.
I don't.
Okay.
I'm just saying that as soon as the partisanship is brought in,
okay,
the divide breaks. And right. I think that's the issue with politics today, just in general. And I think that that's why this March for Our Lives movement is going to cause change. Because we are just young people. We're not from a partisan place. We're just kids. Most of us don't even know the difference between the parties. And I will tell you that some of the kids who are getting involved don't know a single thing about civics. All they know is that they want to make a difference. And this is what I think that the March for Our Lives is really going to turn into.
Bringing everyone together.
Bringing everyone together. A passing of the torch. Because I know for our part, our team, we're going to focus on making the march happen again next year. But not just us. I'm going to pass the torch on to the next teenager. Because I think what happens with all these youth movements is they fail as soon as the leaders grow up. Because the leaders of every movement fail to teach the next generation. Mm-hmm. They fail to give the people under them the tools they need to get involved. And this is what I hope and I believe that the March for Our Lives movement will do, is it'll be a tool to bring the next kids in. So next year's march will be organized by kids younger than me, the next round of kids, so that they are staying involved, because partisanship is the death of this country, and getting young people involved is a catalyst to change that.
So I love it. I agree.
People should not be opposed to young people getting involved, because we're removing these identities.
Yeah.
We're removing the Democrat versus Republican and just bringing down the issues.
We're Americans.
Bring everyone together.
We don't even know the difference between a Democrat and Republican, because three weeks ago, we were too busy talking about what we're going to wear at prom and going on Instagram every day and going shopping. Now we're politicians. Now we're activists. Now we're organizing our communities. And we don't come with these prepositioned ideas of what's right and what's wrong. And this is what this country needs. It needs an end to partisanship, because the death to negotiations, the death to compromise, is the idea of Democrat versus Republican. And as soon as we can end that, as soon as we can have these discussions that I've been having with my conservative friends, in which we agree, because we're not bringing in these ideas of these titles, that will be when we can actually make change in this country.
That's awesome. Listen, we've got more coming from Jordan. A lot of you guys are commenting a lot on Facebook, so we'll get to that. But we got to dance. You guys know we can't have a show without a little bit of music. So
we
got to
bring you back on.
We've got Miss Tanya T.A. in the house. And as I mentioned before, Tanya has performed with Sister Sledge.
Yay, Tanya.
I do that.
Yeah, we are excited. And to prove her talents, Tanya is singing a cappella tonight.
I am.
Get up on the mic for us.
Well,
so tell us first off a little bit, how long have you been performing or singing?
Oh, for a long time. For a long time.
I love
for
your
years
look.
And
you
years.
Just look,
oh, thank you.
You look like a singer.
Do
you
I?
Just look too
That's cool.
Cool.
Yeah, since I was little, I've
been singing. I just love singing. But I was like crazy shy when I was a kid, so I used to hide.
Your talking voice is, it sounds like you're a singer.
Really? Yeah. I've always wanted to hear that when I was a kid. I was like, do I sound like a singer?
You do. You sound like a singer.
Oh, cool.
So what's like the first song you're going
to
sing for us?
Well,
tonight?
It's funny because you said you want to dance, and then I was listening to...
Oh. I just messed up her whole plan.
I was listening. I mean, you know, if it's...
We do want to dance.
I can switch it up because...
We can clap and we can dance right behind you.
Based on what Jordan was just talking about, because it's been on my mind pretty heavy and a lot of people's minds, I would say.
Yes.
And definitely as I sing, but I also write songs. I also write poetry. And as a writer, these things affect me and inspire me, mm-hmm. actually. So I wrote a song... That is related to how our children are affected by these things.
Oh, this is so beautiful. How nice.
How we can do a better job of helping them.
Well, that's what we want
to
hear.
So this isn't a danceable song.
It's okay.
But I've got another one after this. So.
All right, let's do it.
This is appropriate for this show.
I literally just finished writing this a couple of days ago, so that's why I'm
reading.
Got a few words.
Do you need us to clap or snap or hum?
If you'd like
or
to snap.
We can do shoom, bop, bop, shoom, bop, bop.
I might need that for the next one.
All right.
So this is, and it's kind of
Tanya T.
People are used to me, you know, being a little crazy and soulful and stuff. Okay. This is a little more laid back and singer-songwriter-y, folky. Okay.
All right.
So, never done this before. No one's ever heard it.
Okay.
Okay.
It's first.
This is for the sake of a tempo. Child of mine, I apologize for the tears you cry, for the pain inside that took away the tickle in your heart, for all the stars torn from your bedtime story skies, for the thorns that scratch your eyes each time you doze them to dream. Seems to me that we who stand so tall above you have failed to see you. And with each dawn that breaks, so does a trust. So strong are we oblivious to all that you need. Ooh. We feed you ashes from our dust, expecting love to grow within you for us. You need more than what's been laid before you in passing while we're cashing in your hopeful hearts. For the love of God, can we just lift you higher, just enough to find ourselves in you? The least that we can do is see you through. Ooh. Verse 2. Sleepless child, I sing tonight in hopes the pain subsides. To ease the fears that hide behind overzealous smiles that magnify the misery inside, to stop the poisons from purging you of light, to calm you in the night when monsters dare you to scream. How could it be that we who stand so tall above you have failed to free you? Still with each sun that rises, darkness falls. So bold are we to steal it all as if needed to breathe. Oh, and as your ashes then become our dust, we bid farewell to love that was born for us. You need more than what's been laid before you in passing while we're cashing in your hopeful hearts. For the love of God, can we just lift you higher, just enough to find ourselves in you? The least that we can do is see you through. See you through. See you through.
You heard it first on In the Green Room. Beautiful. What do you call, what is, what have you titled it?
You know, I keep bouncing around with titles. So it started differently. The chorus was different when I first started writing it. So right now it's just called Child No More.
You don't need a guitar. Wow. I'm so impressed.
What do you think, Jordan? Inspiring?
Very.
Well, when I heard your guitarist canceled or something, there was a problem, I thought, wow, that's going to be tough, but wow, you are so talented.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. It's a little shaky.
We're really excited. Well, we also
and we're glad that
house.
We got to be the first ones to hear that song. So I don't know. We may have you sing it and record it again later for us.
You inspired me, Jordan, to do that tonight. Oh,
thank you.
Look at there happening.
I'm just
right
proud
here.
Of the young folks because it is going to take. It's going to take you guys to.
It definitely is going
to
take them because it takes change. And the older
Absolutely.
We get, you guys know we don't like change.
We don't like change.
We don't
when
want
we
it.
Older.
We don't want it. So it's great to see that you guys have heads on your shoulders because, as you know, the old folk, we do look at young kids a lot and we say, what is going to happen? Because there's so many things that we look at and what are they thinking? But you are inspiration.
And we
you
also
really
have Kit in the house to give us her input on what's going on with her school and kids her age. Let me get her a chair.
All right. And then, so Jordan, we're still talking with you. We've got Miss Rita Mack in the house, too. She's joining us over here as well. But Jordan, we want to get back. We had some people commenting on some of the things that you were saying earlier. Let me get back to. Now, if you guys don't have it or you're not on, get on our Facebook page. It's in the green room dot green. So make sure you tune in there. Jody asked, what do you think about teachers having guns?
No
arming teachers.
Oh, no.
That's a great question. I want to know what you guys think, too. So definitely pipe in on that.
Well, first of all, it would make every student in the school like, not feel comfortable going to school. I would not go to school if my teacher was armed with a gun, no matter how trained they are. Like, I guess to put it this way, like me and the teachers, you know, we have like a vibe going, you know, like we all have like a vibe.
Yes.
And there would be no vibe if my teacher had a gun. And additionally, just from a safety standpoint, having more guns on campus would make things more dangerous. Because do you really trust some random teacher to have the decision and rationale making to know when to fire a gun or not? Do you really trust that? Can you really trust a random teacher to have invested in them the ability to end a child's life? Because that child could be yours. Mm-hmm. That child could be any
child. I have a good idea. What about if there was some kind of a cabinet that had a security code on it and only their fingerprint could open it up? And the only way it would have to be like, a green light would be pushed or something would let it open by the principal. So it'd be like two people allowing that compartment to open up so that there's two checks and balances. Because if somebody did start shooting, everyone's dead without somebody else with a gun to protect them.
I'd like to ask this. Can you really just like take a moment to realize that this is what we're talking about? We're talking about putting weapons on campus, like schools. Can you imagine having this conversation 30 years ago?
It's ridiculous.
The fact that we're even having to talk about guns on campus is disgusting. You know, people have been saying, well, the only new thing that's with guns is video games. Well, another new thing that's happening is we're having to talk about putting guns on campus. If obviously something happened between 30 years ago and now to make it to the point where we have to put guns on campus, we need to find what that is and fix it because there's a problem.
Well,
I think
a long time ago, a lot of mothers stayed at home and they weren't in the workforce. So they had probably a lot more attention and a lot more time, you know, with their parent. So, I'm not saying that that's the reason, but I think, you know, people are these days, everyone's so busy and you eat in the car and there's not a lot of. You know, maybe not enough time is spent. I'm not sure what the answer is.
But I think that goes around back to counselors and having smaller classroom sizes because I wholeheartedly agree that there's not enough support for children. And this is why so many kids are getting to the point of hurting themselves or others.
Well, we have a teacher here that could have something to say about this.
Well, I mean,
welcome.
She can tell us a whole lot about a whole lot of sides because former politician, former teacher of what, like 12 years?
32 years.
And this part is pretty funny, guys.
32 years.
She has a child in how many generations?
70, 80, and 90. Wow. Which meant incredible. I stayed in the children's world for a very long time. I applaud you for your diligence in where you are as a young man. In fact, how old are you?
17.
Look 17. Because, see, you will someday be a politician. And I'm only saying that to you because when I was 17, I didn't think I would be a politician. But at some point, I became an activist, and from an activist to a politician. And those two worlds are so different, you know, in your thinking. But I want to get back to the school and the gun, because I saw a lot of that gun stuff, too. And in 32 years of teaching, I've seen at least five generations, three generations and a half of different kind of children. Because the children are who's different. And I saw where, with the young man, he had incidents in a lot of different places. But what we have to do as a village is reach the whole child that comes from young. So whatever was going on with him started when he was young. And it wasn't until he got to middle school that it began to manifest itself in a negative way. But it started early. Another thing I want to tell you about children is we look at children, and when I say we, I'm talking about that older generation, as all you have to do is go to school. You don't have to do nothing else. You just have to go to school and do your work. But see, that's not true. They live with a lot of stuff too, be it the emotions, frustration, aggravation, and then comes along the bully compiling things onto what's already a fragile mind. So because that mind is already fragile, and we got all these gadgets, because see, it's the gadgets that's brought the guns to school. It's not the guns. It's the gadgets. Because once you get all the phones in, and you got all the games in, and every game kills somebody, and you get to the next level if you kill this many people. See, so it all play together as a societal problem, not just a problem for the political realm, not just a problem for the teachers, not just a problem for administration, police, FBI. It is a village problem. And until we look at it from that point of view, it's going to stay the way it is. Now, I can't imagine having a gun, taking it to school, and I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to be transparent, because, see, teachers aren't transparent. And I had a child in the 80s, one in the 70s, and this last one that's in the 90s, in this entitled generation, mm-hmm. When I went to meet those teachers, they came to school with problems. So if I got a problem that happened to me at home and I bring it to school, I'm upset already. Mm-hmm. And when you get in the classroom, if you put something on top of my upset, I'm going from the 7 to the 8, and from the 8 to the 9, and when I get to 10, somebody better do something. And I'm not just saying that because it's what I think, it's what I know, you know? Because I used to have to tell my children stuff like, listen, if you do that again, they're going to call the police and they're going to call the ambulance. And I'm not getting in the ambulance. So, you know, those kind of things frighten them. So that was the generation of children that were afraid of things. This generation isn't afraid of anything. I'm going to try you. I'm going to put you right to the test and see if what you're saying is true. So a gun makes a teacher just as vulnerable as it does the student. Because once they shoot the gun, they go into jail. Once you touch a child, whether you touch them or not, you're going out of the classroom until they sort it out, and then you may come back. See, so teachers are under that same pressure. So why y'all out there fighting for the rights to not have those guns in the classroom. Fight for the right for the teachers, too, because we need rights. I don't need them. I'm retired. Okay? Can everybody sing? You know, so it's like I'm glad about what you're doing, because you are the next politicians of the world to come. But as a politician, I was the vice mayor for 4 years, and I was a commissioner for 8. Your thinking changes. There are little things that happen that changes you, and you don't know you're being changed because it's subtle. You know, so whatever it is that your heart's desire is, that's what you have to stay focused on. Or the gun committee, this committee, and that committee will persuade you into thinking on their side of the committee. That's why we have Republican and Democrat, because we got to have some sort of balance. But we don't have a balance at all right now. We just out of control.
Well, and what I hear too, Robin, go ahead. Did you have a question? Okay. That was a raised hand, I thought. What I hear you saying too is, as parents, we have a big responsibility, because I am one of those parents who look at my kids. You guys hear me talk about my teenager all the time. I am one of those parents who look and say, hey, you don't have a whole lot to do. Mm-hmm. Go to school, get good grades, and follow my rules. Mm-hmm. But you're absolutely right. It's so much more going on. We can't, as parents, say what we heard our parents say, and that is, I've been there. I know what you're going through. Mm-hmm. I know how to handle that. I know what you're going to do. We really believe that. We were that age once, but it doesn't mean we entirely understand where your generation is coming from.
Well, something that she tapped on that we all didn't mention before that I think is so important to reiterate is the violent games that the kids are playing. They are ridiculous, and I think those should be banned, because you were saying, what's the difference between 30 years ago and now? We didn't have those games, and I think, why are kids sitting there trying to kill people on games?
Well,
exactly what you said.
30 years ago, it was Rudy, and it was Green Acres and the Hillbillies. You know, it was
happy shows.
Yes.
Happy shows. You're exactly right.
Yeah. It just changed.
Right.
And it turned violent. Then you get your music, and the music has violence in it.
Exactly.
You know, so it's like,
between the video games and the music and the TV shows and the movies, it's all violence.
Yeah.
In fact, I saw a movie, I'm not even going to say the name because I'm embarrassed I went to see it. It was so violent and so gory, you know, I had to walk out. Awful. So, you know, and I saw kids in there. I saw little kids. Yeah. Terrible. Mm-hmm. So
that's what
needs to change.
Bullying has to be reported, and it has to be reported by everybody. Because believe it or not, teachers bully kids, administrators bully teachers. You know, so bullying starts at the top and it goes all the way down, you know, and then it compiles with other things that causes you to break. Because that's what I'm going to say, that this little boy had a breaking point, but he was smart enough to know to dress like everybody else and walk out like this happened to me too, and be on the street for a certain amount of time, where he's committed these crimes, where his thought process has detached from reality. You see?
Or like Jordan says, desensitized.
Yeah, yeah.
So on the topic of like video games, personally, you know, as the younger generation, I roll my eyes really hard every time someone pulls up the video game argument, like really hard. And, you know, I understand, I'm sure there is a small correlation between video games and violent society and actual violence, but banning video games will not immediately make school shootings stop, like not at all. And if what you're saying is correct, banning video games won't do anything, because this idea of our society is already in place. It's a generational issue, and you can't fix a generational issue by just pulling away video games.
And also, literally 100% of our generation plays video games. So it's almost a preposterous thing to say that that's the correlation, because
Chet, I didn't let you watch any of those videos or play those videos.
Okay, I bought Call of Duty Black Ops when I was 12.
No, I didn't let you do any of those until you were like 12, 16 or 17.
I bought Black Ops when I was 12. I still have the poster.
I don't think so.
It's so funny.
We're going to go music, and then we can ask more questions. We're going to
think about it, but we've got another musician in the house, Miss Kit. You guys know Diane Getz, who is our marketing. Well, this is her baby. Mm-hmm.
So, Kit, what are you going to play? And do you have anything to add to our talk about what the solution would be about the gun laws?
I'm going to play it back again, and no, not really.
Okay, we're excited to hear you play.
I had that dream late last night. I was yours and you were mine. Watched you fade into the morning light again. I don't mean to change your mind. We've had this talk 100 times. It's raining like a river down my eyes. And I don't want to talk about how our hearts are doing now. God knows that both of us have tried. We were so in love, just a couple kids. It's a long way back again. A few left turns, and honey, we got lost. But I still kept my fingers crossed. Wish I could take a train back to us again. And I don't mean to change your mind. We've had this talk 100 times. It's raining like a river down my eyes. And I don't want to talk about how our hearts are doing now. God knows that both of us have tried. We were so in love, just a couple kids. It's a long way back again. If only you and I would just forget the world a while, it'd be so easy. If only ears and sparks would just surrender to our hearts, you'd be right with me, 'cause I still carry you with me. Change your mind. We've had this talk 100 times. It's raining like a river down my eyes. And I don't want to talk about how our hearts are doing now. God knows that both of us have tried. We were so in love, just a couple kids. It's a long way back again.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Kit came all the way over to sing for us. We haven't seen you in so long. We're glad to have you back. Are you going to come back and sing some more songs for us?
Yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Guys, we're close on wrapping things up, but I know, Rita, you had one more comment you were saying about these laws that everybody's talking about putting into effect.
Yes, I wanted to leave the one idea of they're saying that put the gun law up to 21. I beg to differ. Because chronologically, yes, you're 21, but mentally you may only be 16 or 15. Because I talked to my son about being 18, and some of the things he say are not those of an 18-year-old. So when they say 21 is a good age to give a gun, let's give that some second thought.
And our closing argument, we'll put it that way.
Jason has a question for the teacher. Okay. Jason had a question for you.
Sure.
Yes, yes. So really, trying to look at everything at a systemic problem, just a quick question because of the amount of time. But what do you think, what class do you think could really be, do you think a government class could really help? Because government is only one semester. Mm-hmm. And so I was talking about to Jordan about this earlier, mm-hmm. how he's right now in trigonometry, and I was actually a math teacher, and it was really just impractical course. It's very actually, it turns students off to math. And to be able to have a practical course like government more common, mm-hmm. It would be able to, how do you think that would change? Because Jordan was saying his experience that he gets very frustrated spending like a half hour to an hour just explaining legislative districts to students every time they want to get engaged.
Well, what I think is that we should be able to learn to live. not learn for education. See, because most of the things I learned in college, I didn't use in my classroom. You know, so it's practical living that is the thing that takes you where you need to go in life. So like you said, trig may never come up, but you need to know how to count your money.
Home economics.
Yeah. Those kind of courses are things that we need. And civics and government, geography, all needs to start at the elementary level and build upon that so that once they're an adult, they will know all of the things necessary to be an adult.
That's awesome. And I hope we can be able to have that as low-hanging fruit as to be able to change in the system. And for everyone listening, check out Facebook Live after, because I have a wonderful wrap that I'm going to share that we don't have time for the show, but I'm going to share it with Facebook Live after.
Hey, guys, so definitely join the conversation, because as you can see, we can talk about this all night from the young and the younger.
Jordan, can we get you on again? Jordan, we'd like to get you on again with some politicians to see how we can make some changes.
Yeah,
because this show is about solutions.
Yeah.
So can
Jordan
we get you on again?
Will be back.
Okay, maybe
Tanya,
next month.
Tanya, guys.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Perfect.
Miss Tanya will actually be back
next week.
And yay, she has a guitarist, so she's really going to blow things up.
I'm really excited about
that.
All
right,
so we'll
hear a little more music from her. We want to wish Miss Rita, remember, guys, she came all the way from Miami, Florida. Let me say Fort Lauderdale,
so
Hollywood. She's here, and we'll be seeing you. You're actually talking about making a move out here, so we'll be seeing her back in a couple
She'll
of months,
be a regular.
Too, right?
She'll be a regular.
All right, guys, thank you for watching. Don't forget our motto. It is
Saving the Planet, one show at a time.
Thank you for listening to In the Green Room. Join us here live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. or anytime on demand 24/7 on StarWorldWideNetworks.com.